The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tune.
All right. Welcome to Snacky Tunes, a very CMJ edition.
CMJ, welcome. We've come to the end of another CMJ. How are you? Worse for wear? Better for wear?
I feel okay. Ben cut his foot pretty badly.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Definitely.
That was Juliana Barwick. That was great. I love that song.
Good for the clouds that are rolling in right about now.
Aw, thanks, guys.
And we have Ben Stevenson.
Coming up at the end of the show. He'll be here. Coming all the way from Toronto. Torontonian.
That makes two live acts.
But first up, we have Chef Patty Jackson. Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good. Post-brunch recovery?
Post-brunch recovery. It's crazy.
What is your headspace like during brunch, post-brunch, especially in Williamsburg? Because it's such like a feverish time of activity.
It's kind of, it's sort of you're so in the zone of it. You know, you're just kind of watching it all go by. Like, oh, eggs, you know.
How many egg dishes can you have going at once?
You mean personally, types?
No, just like when. How many pans can you?
Well, we have like 6 burners.
Okay,
so it's like 6 omelets, and then maybe you could get like 2 orders of pancakes, and then maybe some bacon and some scrapple.
How many eggs per?
Oh, and you can put a funnel cake in the fryer. That's a lot.
How many eggs per brunch?
We go through about 50 or 60 dozen on a weekend.
Insane.
So I guess 30 dozen per brunch.
There's one of the best. New York articles is about like brunch egg chefs in Vegas. It's astounding. It's one of the best.
I think that has to be like some sort of level of hell is like when you work the omelet station at a buffet in like Las Vegas.
I was in Orlando last week at like a very corporate meeting, and it was like 6 omelet stations and just like the saddest omelets ever and made. You're just kind of like they're person, like it's the most impersonal food for you. You're like, cool, thanks.
You saw that movie. I've never seen an omelet chef smile, right?
What?
I've never seen an omelet chef smile. It's a great movie.
Is that really
no, it's not a movie. So Patty, your restaurant Delaware and Hudson is awesome.
Well, thank you.
I've
had the pleasure of feeding you there, which was,
and you know,
where was my invite?
You were in Orlando.
No.
Time does
having
not match.
Having sad omelets.
Sad omelets.
But
the saddest.
I sad swear
omelets.
That it's like, not only did it open a little under the radar, like it was just egg moved, you opened, and then within a couple months, Michelin star.
Yeah, it was really strange.
How many months have you been open?
We've been open for 5 months.
Okay. So that's.
But there's got to be some like lead up to that. You weren't just like cooking in obscurity.
Yeah, no, I was.
Oh, you were?
Well, it felt obscure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most great artists suffer alone.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Or make other people suffer with them while they suffer alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the opportunity came up to take over that space. It was a great space.
Yeah,
great space.
On North 5th?
On North 5th, between Bedford and Barry.
Yeah.
those ceilings. I love that.
Yeah, it's a pretty little room. Like, I walked in and I fell in love with it. And then all of a sudden, it was mine. And then we opened it. And then all this good stuff happened to us.
What were you doing beforehand?
Well, I was not working for about a year before that.
Okay.
And then, but before that, I was the chef of a restaurant called E Truly, which is in Manhattan. It's a big, beautiful old Italian restaurant. A
little different than what you're doing now.
A little different.
Little different.
Yeah, I was cooking Italian food, and now I'm cooking American food. So.
So, but you're cooking a very specific region of American food.
Well, you know, after all those years working with Italians, you know, every Italian I've worked with had so much pride in their area and their region, you know, and you would talk to them about it and they would say, oh, no, in my town, we don't do that. They do that in Siena. And then, you know, they'd say, well, what is American food? And to me, there is certain food that I grew up with that nobody ever talks about that much, you know.
Like what?
I don't know, like scrapple and funnel cakes.
What
and
is scrapple?
Okay, so wait, hold on. Let's just say that you are from Pennsylvania.
I'm from Pennsylvania. Okay. I'm trained as a pastry chef. I went to pastry school in Baltimore.
Okay.
Then I lived in D.C., and then I moved to New York. So I kind of did that circle.
I would love to hear
Northeast.
Your definition of scrapple.
Scrapple is, it's really, as we make it, it's cornmeal and buckwheat mush with porky bits in it.
Oh, okay, but let's pretend that we're in a diner in Pennsylvania and it's like the 70s.
Well, and then it's just scrapple. It's just like gray, squishy stuff on a plate.
Yeah, it's like everything that's not used ground up and then
fried.
Fried. in a, yeah, and served well, like a brick form?
Yeah.
Put those eyebrows down.
It's actually really good. I had scrapple today, which I don't usually eat it, but just because I don't usually eat what we're cooking. But
yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Can you make a funnel cake out of scrapple? Can you deep fry scrapple with powdered sugar on it?
I guess you could. We you know, when we first opened, we were doing fried mush, like sort of vegetarian scrapple, I guess. I don't know. But we just thought fried mush would be really good, because I remember having that when I was a little kid that didn't have any meat in it. You know, sort of like vegan, gluten-free. It's got everything going for
it. It's a Brooklyn Heaven's plate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It talks to so many different things. But it didn't really go over. But now that we're like kind of rolling in this, I think I might go back to the fried mush.
So it's a thought. You do brunch and you do dinner
and we do lunch.
And you do lunch. And talk to me about the different, I mean, look, they don't do breakfast during the week.
Okay.
You know? So you do tasting menus for dinner.
Yeah, dinner is always a fixed menu. So you come in, you have everybody at the table gets to share 5 or 6 appetizer-y things or snacky things, you know, everything from pretzel rolls whatever. So we have like a big pickle plate, or sometimes there's some kind of pate, something fried, you know, little snacks. And then there's a middle course, which is usually some sort of pasta or spetzel or dumplings or something like that. And then you get a choice of main course that's either meat or fish or vegetarian, and then you get desserts for everybody.
So good. You know what I really like about the restaurant is the service.
Yeah, we lucked out. We have the nicest servers.
Well, you know, I feel that, and we've talked about this before, that Brooklyn has sometimes this thing called Brooklyn service, which is just a lot of you're welcome. And your staff is really warm and really friendly and open. Where did you pull a lot of your people from?
They kind of arrived. I mean... Most of our staff has been there since we opened, which is, you know, which means we have a tiny staff because, you know, but they're just nice people. We really lucked into a nice group of genuinely sweet and friendly persons. And the cool thing too is that they're like not starving artists. They're successful artists.
Yeah,
makes scheduling a nightmare, but it's really cool. You
what
know,
type of art are they making?
One who's on leave is a painter, and then we have an actress comedian. We have a dancer. We have a playwright.
And wow! So the holiday talent show is awesome.
I can't wait.
Skit night,
right?
Yeah. Well, listen, we're gonna take a quick musical break, but then when I come back, we want to talk to you about how you plan your menus and what it's like to put together a tasting menu. For what is an insane low price.
Thank you.
So good. The whole record's like that.
Yeah.
Sick.
Bring that noise.
Yeah. That's actually the second track on the record.
Oh, is it?
No.
Oh, okay. I feel like we're getting a lot of good content ideas that we could create. Well, we have Chef Patty Jackson from Delaware Hudson, the ingenue, can we say that, of the Williamsburg dining scene right now?
Awesome.
I always wanted to be an ingenue. That's
there you go.
Awesome.
5 months old, one Michelin star, favorable review in the Times. And the craziest thing is that when I started reading about it is that the tasting menu was $48.
Yep.
Which is so staggeringly low, yep. Relatively. How did you, I mean, you don't want... 48
is a pretty specific number.
Yeah, one, very specific. And two, why did you decide, I mean, you could do $50. Or is it like that $9.99 mentality?
Yeah, I think it's probably the $9.99. I don't know, it started out, I like the number 48.
Yeah, it's great. Know. Lucky number?
Maybe, yeah.
How do you go about planning your menu?
It's a couple things. A lot of it is you know, seasonally influenced. So, you know, it's like if I go to the Green Market and something's there, then that might be something. And, you know, because it's so local, or because the region is a local thing, you know, there are a lot of things that sort of, you know, the weather. You know, it was Indian summer last week. We had succotash. I mean, because that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, it's easier than you think. It kind of makes a really natural progression.
Favorite season to cook this way?
Right now.
Right, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Like end of summer, cusp of fall type thing?
Yeah, there's so much good stuff. You know, there's so much... It's so exciting, you know. Apples are exciting right now. Apples are exciting right now.
Well, yeah.
Cabbage is exciting right now.
Pumpkins.
That cabbage is so hot right now.
Yeah, but then, you know, by February... Apples and pumpkins and cabbage are not going to be exciting anymore.
People are just pissed.
Yeah.
Like, if I see one more root vegetable on a menu, I'm going to
lose my
shit.
So what do you do then, like, when February rolls around?
I don't know. I haven't had a February yet.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Darren.
God.
Well, you've come cooked on, before.
Yeah, but I've cooked before. I was cooking Southern Italian food or making pastry.
Is there
February used to be tropical fruit month when I was a pastry chef.
Oh.
That sounds awful.
Bananas for Valentine's Day. There you go.
Ooh, real bananas Fosters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are there anything staples that are not going to leave the menu? Like, you know, like the pretzel rolls or like the green tomato pie or anything like that?
The pretzel rolls weren't a permanent thing on the menu. So when we started, we had different things. But then everybody wanted the pretzel rolls.
They're so good.
The green tomato pie, I'm probably going to get green tomatoes maybe for another 2 or 3 weeks.
And then that's it?
That's it. Go.
It's exciting to know that, you know, you could come back once a season and have a totally different experience every time.
Yeah, you can come back pretty much once a month and have a totally different experience, except for like the green tomato pie, which has been, it just won't leave.
Well, I mean, when it gets that sort of nod in the Times, it's tough when people come in.
And then people are going to be pissed like 3 months from now when they read it and they're like, it's not on the menu. It's like, we meet something.
Yeah,
it's out of season.
That happened with the New York Times review, though. People came in and were like, you know, where are the crab cakes? It's like, well, we don't have, you know, we have crab cakes for brunch. Do you want those?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So why don't you eat dinner and then come back tomorrow?
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah.
Guy. Yeah. But no. And I love at the end when you come out and you say hi to everyone.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah. It's terrifying.
Really? Do you get nervous?
Yeah.
Every night?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also the, you know, you, like, I'm standing at the kitchen door, and I'm looking at these people, and they're not smiling. So I don't know why they're not smiling. Like, I don't know if, you know, they just hated everything, or they, you know,
oh my
hate
God.
Me.
Every day, this is your own personal hell.
It's my own personal
hell. It's
like
your hell. Own it's, sad
omelet taste. Yeah. I created the thing that terrifies me the most, yeah. So
that's kind of good. You get to face your fear every day, then.
But, I mean, the response has been, I mean, what happened, I mean, what do you see... What is it like to go out? Because that's not every chef does that, and you really go out. I mean, when you came to the table, you talked with us for about 5 minutes, which is a healthy amount of time.
Fortunately, I didn't leave anything on the stove. Usually, I leave something on the stove when I do it, and then I go back, and I'm like, ah. Oh.
Chef.
Yeah.
Wait, is it just you in the kitchen?
No, I have, usually, there, it's me and two or three other guys. And they're all guys, I know. I'm looking.
Looking?
Yeah, I'm looking for a girl cook. But yeah, it's, you know, I have help.
So what is the future hold? Like, where do you go
It's been 5 months, Darren.
Well,
give her a fucking break.
No,
Jesus,
you're stressing her.
Yeah,
out,
Darren.
Oh my God.
Know your audience. God. Rule number one.
Personal hell in the restaurant, out of the restaurant.
Yeah, seriously, this radio show.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you have a lot of love, a lot of support. You're making great food.
I feel super, super blessed. I probably would like to do some more baking, and we don't really have the space for it.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe down the road we might do something, an annex, an auxiliary thing.
Oh,
but,
nice.
But for right now, we're pretty happy and settled in where we're at. So.
One thing I want to talk about was the soundtrack. Who does your music selection?
What are you going to say about it?
I loved it.
Oh, okay. I do. No, yeah.
It's fun.
It's really a series of Pandora channels that we kind of link together. But, you know, we play a lot of Valerie June and a lot of Graham Parsons and a lot of, you know, there's a lot of cool, like, weird country kind of things. And if you put them all together, you get some really great stuff, so.
The Delwyn Hudson Pandora algorithm.
Right.
That leads to some great stuff.
Cool. You know, it's the funniest thing, you know, when you start with, I worked for all these other restaurants, and when we were opening, it's like, oh, we have to put so much thought into all of these things, and then we just ran out of time.
Right.
You know, and so I own all of this music that I still haven't gone through to, like, you know, I'm never going to put together a playlist for the restaurant that way, you know?
No, some people really, really just, they do that. They start with a list of 1,000 and just keep adding to it, adding to it, adding to it.
And I really admire them, but it's tough to do. You know, it's I don't know. And what I want to hear every day changes. Brunch,
yeah.
You know, the brunch list is always, you know.
What's brunch like?
Sometimes it's old, you know, girl groups, and sometimes it's Steely Danny, and sometimes it's, you know, I don't know. I swear the Smiths were playing today. I don't know. It's brunch.
It's brunch.
Oh, Big Star. Big Star was big for a couple of weeks in the summer.
Okay. Well, Patty, I want to thank you for coming by.
Well, thanks for having me.
I hope we didn't stress you out too much.
No, you didn't. And you can come to brunch, and then I'll come out, and then I'll be all stressed. And
okay.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
So where can people find all the nuts and bolts, all the information?
We're on Twitter. We're at Delwyn Hud, and we're on Instagram. And we have a website that's called DelawareAndHudson.com.
Spelled out.
DelawareAndHudson.
No, I meant the and was spelled out.
Oh.
I thought you said spelled out.
No,
sorry. I'm like, God, I hope I spelled Delaware right.
Yeah.
It's great. So, yeah, I would say, and you guys take reservations, which is super nice.
We take reservations for dinner, and we take, yeah, and call ahead. We're always there, so.
Awesome. Well, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Stick around. There'll be some pizza coming soon.
niggas, cause you down for her britches. And fuck them other niggas, hope she down for some sticking. And fuck them other niggas, hope she down for some licking. And fuck them other niggas, cause she down for some tricking. And fuck them other niggas, cause you down for her britches. And fuck them other niggas, cause she down for some sticking. And fuck them other niggas, hope she down for some licking. And fuck them other bitches, cause she down for the tricking. Fuck them other niggas, cause you down for her britches. And fuck them other niggas, hope she down for some sticking. And fuck them other niggas, hope she down for some licking. And fuck them other niggas, cause she down for some tricking. And fuck them other niggas, cause she down for her britches. And fuck them other niggas, cause she down for some sticking. And fuck them other niggas, hope she down for some
licking. Hi. Welcome back, Snacky Tunes. You want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Juliana Barwick.
I'm Nemai. I'm backing up the lovely Juliana Barwick.
Nemai is one of my best friends, and she's in Prince Rama, which is one of the best bands in the entire world.
Just stop.
Just like keep going. By the way, great co-interviewing today.
Yeah, thank you.
Way to get in there.
Thanks.
So I have to say that your music is some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard. When Hannah sent it over to me to be like, oh, would you ever consider this for the radio show? I was like, absolutely. And then, first it was duh. And then I was like, it's like very specific. And then when the Iceland, I read about you recording in Iceland and Sigur Rós, and I was like, oh, now it begins to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a match made in heaven, I think.
Yeah. When were you over there?
Spring 2012.
Amazing. What's it like being over there, just recording music and being in the wild?
It's surreal. Every day I was like pinching myself. Like, wow, you are in Iceland and making music. Life is grand.
How did that friendship start?
Alex sent me an email. Alex Summers, who ended up producing it. Alex of Yonzi and Alex, and but Alex has done a bunch of different things. He's started producing for more people, and he's done a lot of like mixing and recording for Sigur Rós and all of their like satellite projects. So he sent me an email, just like, we love your music and we would love to do something with you one day. And I ran a few laps around the couch, and then I was like, woo, yes. And I sent an email back, and we just talked all year. That was 2011. So we talked all year long and made plans for me to come over and do it.
How many times did you have to rewrite that email?
Actually, it was like a total knee-jerk reaction, and I just said, yes, with like 15 exclamation points.
Yeah, I was
points.
About to ask how many exclamation points.
Yeah, I was like, I can't control the nerdiness. I'm just going to let it flow.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's better just to not play it cool. Just be like, fuck it.
Yeah, they're going to find out anyway, so.
Like 2 minutes in, like, you're going to be like, your knees will be shaking, like, tears running down your face at the airport, just being like.
Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, I think I responded just instantly. As soon as I saw the email, I just responded.
You're like, cool. I can't even imagine getting, like, just be like, oh, I mean, check my email and just getting.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest ones ever, so.
Oh, were there others?
couple others. But yeah, I up until that point, all my solo-y stuff was like bedroom recordings with no one watching or listening or anything at all.
Did they say how they found out about your music?
Nope.
Hmm. And you never asked?
Nope.
don't push your luck. Okay. Don't push your luck. Just get in there. Let's hear a song.
Yeah, let's hear a song.
Okay, cool. So this first one is One Half.
As we are.
Silent cheering.
Yeah.
That was really great. This is like a perfect. There's like certain records that you like winter records. Like I imagine like 9 degrees out and like bundled up and the sky is purple.
Come on. Come on. We're not there yet.
No, but I'm saying when that happens.
No.
When that happens, I'm leaving.
No. Yeah. When that happens, this record will be on play. There's just certain records that are like made for certain seasons.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I mean, we recorded it in, you know, spring of 2012, and it didn't come out until August of last year, 2013. I felt like it was a wintry record,
yeah.
But things happen, and we had to release it in August, but
that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
fine. It's kind of wintry to me also, so.
Well, for all the Snacky Tune fans out there, they can get this ready for winter.
Yeah.
You were saying before that was your mom on the backing track?
Yeah.
Oh. What's that about?
Well, she's
has a beautiful, beautiful voice, and I grew up listening to her sing, you know, all the time. So I
was a professional, or she just had a good voice?
She just has a great voice, and I just always wanted her on a record. And I'd taken, like, my sister to Australia, and we were, like, in a city every day. And I took my dad to France and Portugal, and we were in a city every day. And it was my turn to take my mom somewhere. But she's not kind of like a city-a-day kind of lady. And I just thought, this is perfect. She should go to Iceland with me and be on the record. And
was she there the entire time?
No, not the entire time. I went twice, so she went the first time with me in February, and then I came back and did about 5 or 6 more weeks of work on it with Alex in May.
Tough. Real.
It was terrible.
The sacrifice.
Did you delve into Icelandic cuisine at all? Because they have some funky stuff over there.
Not a ton. I saw signs a lot that was like, our special today is whale and puffin. And I was like, oh, that makes me want to cry.
They have this, I think it's like this rotten fish that they bury.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what the name of that is.
Lufsik? Something like that? I don't know.
And they also... They also serve pony.
It's one step up from scrapple.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like the fermented shark stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like... I've watched a ton of Anthony Bourdain over the years, and that's the one thing that he was like, I can't. No. Like, I'll eat anything else. Like...
It sounds terrifying.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Fermented shark.
I'm sorry, I didn't get too adventurous with the puffin or the... fermented shark.
I don't even think you need to apologize. I think I'm adventurous either, and I think I would probably...
You know, the upsetting thing is they serve the puffin with the head still on.
No!
Oh, no! Get out of here. You're fired.
That's so cute.
And then you also had a children's choir on there, right? Which is like...
That's a fancy way of saying that...
You conscripted some children.
That's a fancy way of saying that... Goggy is the bassist for Sigaros. He has a beautiful teenage daughter, and she has some beautiful teenage friends, and they came to the Sung Lane studio, and we recorded with them for a day, and paid them in pizza and ice cream.
Yes.
That's all teenagers want anyway.
They were stoked. They were like, yes.
That's what they would have spent their money on. They would have... You just cut out the ordering.
Exactly. Yeah, and they'd recorded on some Sigaros stuff, too. So, yeah, that's where the...
No child labor laws in Iceland.
I guess not.
Yeah. Should we hear another song?
Yeah, let's do another song.
Cool. I guess we can do that.
What's this one called?
This one is Crystal Lake. Crystal Lake.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nimai.
That's a good, like, do you wink? Do you wink a lot when you finish songs?
I only wink at Juliana.
Oh.
A very special friendship.
Oh, yeah.
How did you two meet?
We met in Istanbul.
Istanbul.
Really?
Yep.
Both of our bands were playing together at this festival.
Okay. What festival?
I don't know. You remember? I think it was in a different language.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I think Bant Mag put it together.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact name of the festival, but...
It was so fun.
It was so fun, and every... People in Istanbul are just freaking awesome, and that place is ridiculously beautiful. And it was me and Prince Rama and Moon Duo and just a bunch of, like, really, really amazing people.
Psych, get out there.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And then we just kind of, like, followed each other around. We were at Northeast together.
We were in Australia together.
And we did like, the Sugar Mountain Festival in Melbourne and Mona Foma in Tasmania. We were just... I was following them around a lot.
How was Sugar Mountain?
How was it?
Great.
Yeah.
That was off the hook. John Mouse played. So and
he
kind
of fell in love with your sister, I think.
Him and my sister had, like...
We're talking forever.
Yeah, they were
some festival love sessions?
No, they are both, like, complete brainiacs, so they were just bouncing off of each other. It was like watching ping pong.
Yeah, well, Juliana and I just sit there and, like, wink at each other.
Yeah, we're like, hey, I like your nail polish.
Yeah, John Mouse and her sister were talking about, like, the universe.
Yeah, it went all over the place.
And we're
religion,
just like, cool.
Everything.
So much winking. I blew an eye out, actually.
My falsies fell off.
So, what's next? Tours? Musings? Wandering around in a snow-filled New York City?
Oh, I hope not.
No.
It's coming.
It's going to be brutal winter. I can feel it.
Even worse than last one, because I missed last year's winter.
Same.
And everyone was like, you're lucky you're not here, because it just
sucks.
It was
a nightmare.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
I missed it, too.
It wouldn't stop snowing. I don't get it. I mean, it means I can listen to your album longer, but...
What's next for me is fun.
I'll be there.
Oh, sweet.
You want to hang out?
Yeah, duh.
How's your winking game, Darren?
Don't worry. You have some time to work on it.
Yeah. Hey, guys, can't go out tonight. Working my winking game for fun.
Me and J-Bar are going to wink at each other.
Wink.
Fun. And then on November 20th, I'm playing a lighthouse, on the cliffs of Norway, and that's real.
That is a real sentence.
Yeah, and I get to sleep there.
Wait, what is, what?
I don't even
alone,
know.
Alone, I must survive the night.
Yeah.
If you survive the night, you can play a brunch set the next day.
Exactly. Yeah,
What is it?
Wait, it's just like a one-off.
It's a casual one-off.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm playing Le Guess Who, which is my Europe booking agent's festival that he does in Utrecht. Le Guess Who. And I'm doing the, like, 24-hour drone fest with, like, William Basinski and a few other awesome people.
Can you stand for the whole thing?
Probably not, unless they give me treats.
Yeah. Like Red Bull? 5-hour energy drink?
No, thank you. That stuff makes me... I haven't even ever tried that because I know it would make my heart feel really bad.
You never know until you try.
It makes me feel like my heart is sitting outside of my chest.
Yeah.
Like in a good way?
I don't think I'd like that feeling. Look how cute this little girl is.
This little girl wants to be.
It's always the kids that can, like, look in.
So cute.
Yeah.
So that's November. And then December is just holiday time, hanging out with my little nephew and stuff.
Where are you from?
I was born in Louisiana, but my whole family's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And my sister just had the cutest baby in the world last Halloween, so that's where.
Oh, do you know what the kid's going as this year?
I think he's going to be Charlie Brown.
Okay.
Probably has the right haircut.
Yeah,
it's not going to be too hard. I'm just going to get the shirt, and he basically looks like it.
all right, well, we want to make sure we get one more
before we have Ben Stevenson join.
Where can people find you? Instagram, Twitter, Smoke Signals.
It's Juliana Barwick. Twitter, Instagram, website.
No J-Bar?
Not yet.
That's your future hip-hop career.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I get the cover of Us Weekly. I'll be J-Bar.
J-Bars, Dirty Laundry.
When I start dating, who do I want to date?
Zac Efron.
Ew! Harry Styles.
Oh, yeah, Harry Styles.
Yeah. No one can see how much you're blushing on the radio.
Even though he's like 20 years younger than me, no big deal.
That's cool.
Whatever.
Yo.
Yeah.
It's never too late to be a cougar.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can do that your whole life.
Yeah. Get after it. So what's this last track you're going to play for us?
We're going to do prize winning because it's drummy and that's what Nimi does.
Also, my sister did a remix of this song.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a Matrimony Remixes EP that I put out on Asthmatic Kitty.
And love that label.
Like,
love
it. I feel like people don't really know about this Matrimony Remixes EP, but it's pretty dope. It has Tarika from Prince Rama did one, and Diplo and Lunas did one. My friend Brian did one. My friend Roberto did one. And
is that their DJ name? My friend Brian?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, though.
Alias Pale. Alato Negro, Prince Rama, Diplo, and Lunas is pretty dope.
That's pretty great. Diplo guy, watch out for him.
Yeah.
Big things in 2015.
Yeah, he's doing okay for himself.
Okay. He's doing fine.
I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah. All right, well...
that's the impression I get.
Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having us. This was super fun.
Yeah, and stick around. We got Ben Stevenson coming up next on this very special annual... once a year, CMJ.
Yikes.
And yeah, so we'll see you in Austin.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm excited.
Thanks. 512.
Yeah, that's the zip. I mean, the area code.
It's okay.
Thank you.
And we're back. Very special CMJ. And a CMJ.
And a CMJ. Yay. This is really... It's this extra tacked on day, which I think is... Yeah. Is 6 days of CMJ?
I don't know. Anyway, Juliana was great.
So good.
That was really great. And in joining us in the studio now is a Torontonian.
No, not...
ninth generation.
You know, they say that to be a real New Yorker, you need to live here for 10 years. How many years do you need to live in Toronto to be an official Torontonian?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I feel like that yet. I've been there for 7. So... I feel like I'm almost there. We'll see though.
Almost. What are the
full fledged?
What are the staples there? You know, like everyone in New York is like, oh, this is where the best piece of pizza is. This is how you get a cab. Like, what are like the myths of Toronto that you discover when being there?
It's really early in the morning to be scanning my brain like this. But
hard hitting questions here on Snacky Tune
with Ben Stevenson. Come on, let's do it.
I'm thinking food. Let me think of food just because it's pertinent to the show. Food spots. You got to know the right shawarma place. You got to know. There's no real pizza scene in Toronto. Like Vancouver has an amazing, like dollar slice pizza thing going on.
Familiar with the dollar slice scene in Vancouver.
But Toronto has none of that.
But is the Vancouver slice like here, it's like 99 cent slice and it's awful.
Nah.
It's like hardboard.
Nah, you get some good pizza for I mean it, you know, it's like $1.50 for the, like the deluxe.
Oh, did you want a plate? Did you want a plate? Oh, that's $2.
It's like how is that $4?
Yeah, how did that
wait,
like,
what?
Real expensive, a
slice and it's $4.
All of a sudden it was one loony, now it's a toonie, and now
wow, you guys know Canada.
Yeah. We're half Canadian.
Oh, true.
Yeah, we're Montrealians.
Montrealians.
Yeah.
Canadians.
Our dad is a full-blown Montreal Lyonian.
Oh, that's cool.
But you're from out west, though, right?
Yeah.
What's that Edmonton pizza scene like?
The Edmonton pizza scene's, you know, is pretty dead. It's pretty dead. It's like, I mean, it's good. You can get good pizza, but it's not like a sliced scene, you know?
Now, is Edmonton where you first started playing music?
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in kind of the punk scene out there.
What's the Edmonton punk scene like?
It's really strong, you know, like, especially when I was growing up, it's like, it's a really good bastion for a lot of things. I mean, when I was a kid, it was kind of the echo of what had happened a few years earlier with, like, you know, bands like SNFU came from, they actually from my neighborhood.
Down the street.
Pretty much, actually. And, so that was cool. Like, it was always a really sort of, supportive scene, and now even you got guys like I think there's a lot of young kids that kind of came after me in the scene that are now doing really well, like internationally, like Mac DeMarco. And
oh man, he's huge. He's from Edmonton.
And this band, like I was saying, this band Tops, that's one of my favorite bands right now.
That's a real CMJ buzz band.
And my boy Calvin Love is killing it too. He was just out here. John Savage. A lot of kids from Edmonton doing some cool stuff these days.
What are the venues in Edmonton?
Over the last few years, there's been a place called Wonder Bar that I think was really kind of holding the scene down. But like I said, I've been away for 7 years, so I go back periodically. But
what prompted the move to Toronto?
You know, I had to follow my heart. You know, it was a girl.
Oh, yeah.
Classic story. Fall in love, move to Toronto.
Was she a Torontonian?
No, she was from Edmonton as well. She was going to school, and my band at the time was kind of falling apart, and you know, I was ready for it. So
this
it
is a classic
sense.
Story. This is like the most insert city, but
you want to rip a tune?
Sure.
Yeah. What do you want to play?
I'm gonna play a song called Magnolia.
Okay, oh, wait, cool. That's a nice Martin.
Thank you. The song's about another city. On another coast, it's called Los Angeles. So it goes like this. Some magnolia might bleach your hair. In California, you lost a day. They took your beauty.
and it went nowhere. It was all magnolia, standing there with your guitar, singing of all the better things you had, all the better days have passed. Don't forget it ever happened, the better things you had. Down in the valley with starlit eyes, over the hills and far behind. It took your dreams and it went nowhere. I saw you on Magnolia with your golden hair and your guitar, singing of all the better things you had, all the better days have passed. Don't believe it never happened, the better things Magnolia. Pass right by you like I didn't care, and you still sang out. Yes, I wasn't there. I could have told you I loved your voice, but I can't say it. Had a choice, just let the song take you there. Magnolia, Magnolia, Magnolia.
Great.
Thank awesome. You.
Love that, Martin.
Thank you. Me too.
So how do you go from punk scene in Edmonton to writing songs like this?
I mean, I've always been into all kinds of things, you know, musically. Growing up in my band, we kind of...
What was the band's name?
We were called Our Mercury. We were kind of like... really open to different things. We used to listen to more hip hop and soul music and reggae music than anything, you know. Especially by the end, you know, we kind of were really free and open with how we would evolve as a band. We were always changing and going into different things, and so after the band broke up, I was really sort of on a soul music kick, and I really kind of went heavy into it, and you know, just tried to develop my voice in that way, and to get that sort of feeling out, and yeah, I ended up kind of falling into some situations in Toronto, working with some more sort of urban music producers, and you know, just kind of found my way to it. And then, you know, I also kind of at the same time would go back and write like a song like that. It's almost
right.
Kind of a country song or whatever.
Who are your who are your soul guys?
I mean, I was obsessed with Sam Cooke, just because of that
Never heard of him. I love him. His two live albums.
Yeah.
Live with Coppola.
Yeah.
Square.
Yeah, those are great.
The classics.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. Almost all of the stuff he did in some ways. Like,
it's amazing how much he got out in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, it is. When you look at like how quick his career was and how early he passed, like, yeah, it's crazy. What we're left with is like
it's a lot.
Pretty amazing, yeah. You know, and then guys like obscure guys like O.V. Wright or something like that. Obviously, like the big guys, Al Green and all those guys, you know. But I just love that sound, you know, especially the Southern stuff. I really loved so.
So crisp, so classic.
Yeah, exactly.
So then that
just so much feel in it.
Yeah.
And that evolved into what we're listening to now, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that song I just played is not really representative of what I'm about to do.
Like, that wasn't a Sam Cooke cover.
but I'm the new stuff that I'm working on is very modern, but it's got a, you know, a sort of tinge of the old feel of soul music in it.
Can you play one for us?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the title track off this EP we're about to put out. A song called Summer Dealer, and the EP is called Dirty Laundry, so.
I watch the ceiling fan go round and round again. I can't believe you ain't, but you're gone. I miss the little things. I placed a little bet on you, girl. I confess that I'm lost. I can't call it. I think I'm folding your dirty laundry, caught in the winding river, and the water takes you back, fade to black. Ooh, autumn fever, summer dealer, could you get me high one more time? Falling over. Should've warned us, but I need that high one more time. I need that, but I need that, but I need that high one more time. One more time. I took your picture there, carried it everywhere. It looked so different when I went back without you. Let the moments pass, slow motion hourglass. It can't catch that falling sand, can't go back. I can't call it. Baby, I think I'm folding your dirty laundry, caught in the winding river, and the water lifts you up, fill your cup. Ooh, autumn fever, summer dreamer, could you get me high one more time? Falling over, I should've warned you, but I need that high one more time. I need that, but I need that, but I need that high one more time. One more time. Thank you.
Nice. A lot of soul in that one.
Yeah, thank you.
A lot of feeling. So talked about the EP, the Dirty Laundry EP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been working on it for the last year or so. A bunch of songs produced by his producer, Happy Perez, who I've done a bunch of work with. He's down in Houston. Amazing producer. He's done stuff with Frank Ocean and Miguel and a host of other people. Some stuff I produced myself on there. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It sort of tells a story of, you know, what it might imply from the title. A lot of sort of stuff I'm not necessarily proud of, but shit that you go through. You know, yeah. we all kind of go through. And I think it's relatable in that sense.
The tough times of Toronto.
The tough times. TTT.
Classic story.
Classic story.
And then record release going to be in Toronto?
Yeah, we're playing a show there this Thursday. I'm really excited about it. And yeah, just to get out, you know, performing more, you know, it's exciting to be launching the release and finally being able to sort of get out and play these songs for people that I've had for, you know, a minute in my pocket. So
where's the, what's the venue?
It's the Drake Hotel.
Love the Drake.
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, everyone loves the Drake all over the world. They love him.
Yeah,
they,
classic. Well, they also, but they take.
I'm kidding.
But. Tour manage. No, I tour manage a band, and I've actually been on the Drake like a number of times.
Nice. Yeah.
And they actually take really good care of the musicians.
Cool.
And
cool. I mean, I'm not from out of town, so I won't get a room or anything. But
is that where Drake
live right
got
by
his
there.
Name? Nope. Are you sure? He's from Toronto.
Yeah.
These are facts that you are saying.
But I don't know. Toronto called Drake. He's from Toronto.
Keep going.
His performing name is Drake.
Keep going.
That's all I got. Okay. So then you can hit the road at all? You can hit a little tour at all?
We don't have a tour planned, but I mean, yeah, sure.
Not opposed to it.
I live for the road, you know.
Do you spend a lot of time on the road?
I mean, I grew up doing it, you know, so.
Do you miss it, though, like in the van, weeks on end?
Certain things about it, sure. Obviously, it's not the most glamorous thing, but I mean, I love it. I love touring. I love being able to play, you know, hanging out with friends and just kind of catching jokes all the way. It's, you know, it's great. Touring is great.
How was CMJ this week?
CMJ was really cool. It was we did a few performances. Saw a bit of cool stuff. I didn't see as much as I'd like to. I was trying to see more. But it was really hard to get into some stuff, you know, like we'd show up and just wait in lines and shit. So
that's the one thing about CMJ, it's like you're waiting in line to see a band that like will play to like a quarter full room like 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Just because it's like college kids.
I mean, most people come through Toronto too, right?
Yeah, Toronto, you're not going to miss too much, for sure. But yeah, I don't go out to see live music too much. I'm kind of like lay low when I'm at home.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hunker down in the Torontonian there.
I'll end up going to see friends' bands and stuff.
Yeah. Anybody want to name check?
I'd like to give a shout out to my good friend Michael Rault, who's about to come out with a single on Burger Records. One of my closest friends.
Burger is awesome.
Incredible musician.
Yeah. Burger's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really getting behind him. And yeah, he's like my best friend, basically. We hang out all the time.
That's awesome.
And so I'm really excited about him. He's got some fire. These new records are coming out. So that is cool. Yeah, I don't know. Toronto's got a lot of cool stuff, and I'm involved in kind of different worlds out there. So it's cool to sort of, you know, from anything from like, you know, sort of psyche garage rock to like, you know, weird rap music to, you know, electronic music. I kind of have my fingers in all these different areas. So
cool. Well, we want to make sure we get one more song in. But yeah. Where can people find you? Get the EP.
We'll it's going to be available for free download at first, so obviously, but you can watch me on Twitter, Benjamin Stevie, SoundCloud, just search Ben Stevenson, and soundcloud.com/Benjamin Stevie, and yeah,
cool. I mean,
that's probably the best thing.
All right, well, we want to thank everyone for coming by today. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. We're out the next couple weeks, right?
Yeah, we'll be back like November 16th or something like that.
Sweet. And just mark it down. And if any of you are going to be in Austin for Fun Fest, come and find us because we'll be roaming around.
I'll be in Boston.
Boston.
Yeah.
What's the last song you got for us?
A song called Perfect.
Okay. All right. Well, let's end this show on a perfect note then.
I'll never be perfect for you. You think you know me well, but you'll never know the shade of this blue. Keep running from yourself. When the memories come knocking at your door and you can't scrub them off your checkered floor, remember I really loved you. I really loved you. In the passenger side, well, I really loved you. When we took that ride, now you wanna walk away from me. Do you mean it honestly? Nothing I can say to make you wanna stay. You wanna give me back the key. Do you mean it honestly? Nothing I can do to renew me and you. You know I rarely gossip, girl, I've heard. I don't know a thing about it, but I see you round, and I can fake that, but I doubt it. 'Cause inside my heart, it's not my fault that I'll never be perfect for you. You think you know me well, but you'll never know the shade of this blue. Keep running from yourself. From yourself. From yourself.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.